Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's been a busy Shabbos. But Baruch Hashem, wonderful Shabbos we had. Quick disclaimer before I even announce the topic of today's share is being the fact in Yeshiva this was graduation Shabbos and there's a lot of time invested for the Talmidim. So they made a program. On last week's Sunday, they already were asking me, what am I giving share on this Sunday? I have to put in the program. I don't necessarily have the next share waiting the moment the first share is over. So, okay, I knew I had to come up with a topic pretty quickly. So by Monday, I had my topic. I had this on Monday. Seems over the past couple days, a pretty major controversy erupted on the topic of the share that I'm giving. So much so, I was forewarned by some people, be very careful, you know, you're walking on thin ice. This is quite a controversial topic. You don't know how many people are going to tune in and find what you say. You know, the share does get disseminated. So, okay, I am a little nervous about that. Don't obviously pass on Halacha L'maisa off this. But L'maisa, we already had the topic. We're ready to go with the topic. We just added layers and layers based on the updates that just happened. You know, it was Friday afternoon when two of my chaverim contacted me. Did you hear about this? And I didn't. And they both sent me more marmakomos. Everyone's all excited about the share. Now, what's the share about? Another introduction. Last week in the Jewish world, there were four events, which each event had more than 25,000 people in attendance. Now, I look around the room, pop quiz, Talmidim might share, don't count. They might know these things. But there were four events that took place last week. Each of them had more than 25,000 people in attendance. I doubt there's anyone here in the audience right here. I'm not sure even the people watching. Can you name four events that each had over 25,000 people just last week? I'm not even sure, you know, when it shows Kanai Nahara where Klal Yisrael is at, that, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, there are so many people and you can have a big event. It really is a big event. Now, it's interesting. I'm not sure how many people. I doubt there are people that went to all four. I highly, highly doubt, as I list off what the four were. I'll start this way. One was a wedding of the Gera Rebbe's child. That took place, I think, like maybe like Tuesday. It had 25,000-30,000 people there, streets of Yerushalayim. Later that night, there was a second wedding in the streets of Yerushalayim, that of the Belzer Rebbe's grandson, had a big wedding. We were just there. The whole plaza was packed. 25,000-30,000 people were there. Okay? So, two of them, technically, I don't know the exact time frame, the overlap. You probably could have gone from one to the other, just not drive. No traffic in Yerushalayim that day. Third event happened in New York City, just listing the historical facts, happened in New York City last Sunday morning, Sunday, I guess, morning, afternoon, is Israeli Day Parade, which I believe they said had 40,000 people. And then last Sunday evening in Philadelphia, the Lakewood Yeshiva hosted an event called the Adirei HaTorah event, honoring the Talmidim in the Kolo, the Yeshiva, and the supporters of the Yeshiva. Four events in the Jewish world, each one easily over 25,000 people there. Quite amazing. I would like, today's share is focusing on the Adirei Torah event and very interesting halachic shayla that came about from it. For this Adirei Torah event, the Lakewood Yeshiva flew in two Gedolim from Eretz Yisrael. Gedolei Ziknei Rosh Yeshivas from Eretz Yisrael. You have to pick a big speaker at an event like this. The easiest way to pick a speaker is, first of all, not someone from around. They picked two Chasheva Gedolim. One was Rav Dov Landau, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka, and her. I believe he's 94 years old. Some might already term him the Gadol Hador upon the passing of Gershon Edelstein, who we spoke about last week. And the second Adam Gadol is Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, who, just to give a little perspective who Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman is, Rav Meir Tzvi has been a Rosh Yeshiva for decades upon decades of a yeshiva called Rashbi. It was actually yeshiva started by his father. His father actually spent a lot of time decades and decades ago back there, you know, near the Kever. Rev Nancy Bergman, I believe, is, I don't know, fifth generation Yerushalmi. This Rev Nancy Bergman happens to be the son-in-law, the only son-in-law of Rav Shach Zetzal, the Gadol Hador for decades. He was Chavrusa, as he learned Morning Seder, with none other than the Stipler. He was Adam Chashav Admaot, huge, huge, huge Talmud Chacham. Adam Gadol. On top of that, just to give a picture of who this Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman was, so he gave this drasha, which we're going to speak about, at this Adirei HaTorah event last week in Philly. Right? You know the story. It was in the 76ers arena, and they were saying Lakewood was going for the fact that the basketball team shouldn't make it to the finals, because that would share, that would be a problem with the event. So luckily the Celtics beat them, I think. But, so this event took place over there in Philly. At the end of his drasha, Meir Tzvi Bergman did a phenomenal thing. He said he's going, quote-unquote, off-script, you know, off the topic of the Adirei Torah event. He wants to talk about something which really pains his heart. And his speech was in Yiddish, Hebrew, mix, yeshivish mix. End of his speech, he's speaking Yiddish, Hebrew, and talking about Rachmatzon, the plight of so many Jewish girls who are involved in quote-unquote the shidduch crisis, sitting, don't yet have a shidduch, and it's a very, very tough situation. And he talked about an eitzah that he heard years ago from his father-in-law, Rav Shach, to bench the kavana from a sitter is a schus for tremendous yeshuas, for shidduchim, and made a big push for that. But one of the most amazing things was, then he says, I'd like to speak to those girls, I would like to speak in English. Now, realize this is a very yeshivish Lakewood event. Most, if not all, the speeches were in Yiddish. All the major speeches were all in Yiddish. But the end, the one person speaking English, the major address of Meir Tzvi Bergman at the end of his speech, I remember hearing it. I heard it Sunday night, that clip. Something beautiful. I said to myself, I didn't know Meir Tzvi Bergman speaks English. I found out later he doesn't. Meir Tzvi Bergman does not really speak English. He knows some words, could say some things. He doesn't speak English. So how did a 94-year-old Gaon give a speech over in front of 25,000 people in English? He practiced and practiced and practiced so he'll be able to say it over in English so that American girls will understand the message of his imonoch betzara and an eitzah to help them out of shidduchim. That's the type of Adam Gadol. We just spent the Shabbos. It's a big deal to get Chasheva 12th grade Talmidim to get up and speak in public. Imagine speaking in front of 25,000 people in a language which is not your tongue, which you just practiced and learned. But that's what he did. Yeah. Now, put that, that's the man that, you know, the, we talked about the stadium, that's the speaker. But here's the big problem that happened. And Shiva, while he was flying on Thursday from Eretz Yisrael to attend this event Sunday in Philadelphia. Now the other speaker, Dov Land, I believe, had a family simcha and only flew out Motzei Shabbos. 94 years old, not easy. So much so, he came to the event. He attended the event. He didn't have any strength to speak. He didn't speak. So Meir Tzvi Bergman is better for an older person. He flew out on Thursday. While he was in flight, Rahman Atzlan, a 70-year-old son of his, suddenly passed away. In flight, obviously, they consulted when to tell him. They told him he taught Kriya. And the doctor said there's no way he could just turn around on the plane and go back to Eretz Yisrael to attend Levaya for his son. He physically can't do it. And originally, the talk was, okay, he's going to have to stay in Lakewood for Shabbos. Sit Shiva, begin singing Shiva in Lakewood. Now they'll see, they figured, you know, his mom is not available. You know, fly back maybe Sunday. Missed the event. But then later, the plan seemed to change. And the Meir Tzvi Bergman was going to stay for the event. Stay and speak at the event. And a psak was issued, we'll talk about that in a moment, by some poskim. And the Meir Tzvi did show up at the event and gave a masterful drasha. And at this point, we can say the rest is already history. But the halachic debate about this psak is something which is going on right now in the world, in the yeshiva world, halachic world. And I think it's a good topic to talk about and to clarify as best as we can. Really, within this exact case, it's very hard. The parties involved, I can't just call up now on the phone and get them to comment, because everybody's trying to get them to comment. And it's a big taram right now, this topic. So, don't know the details. It could be, we're saying this share today, Sunday, just a week after. Could be by the time someone listens to this, it'll be greater clarification what exactly went on. But we're going to try to explain the situation about Sher Rusham, whatever we know, the information we know today. So let's speak that out. Right? Obviously, a person in Avelos, a person Toch Shiva. Now, just to clarify, the son was Niftar on Thursday. The first 3 days of Avelos have the most Chomer Dikar Halachas. Right? Obviously, for the Kvura has more, but within this, once you pass the Kvura, the first 3 days in general have the most Chomer Dikar Halachas. It was already past the 3 days by the time Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman stepped foot in the stadium. So that's just to put that in perspective, but it still was Toch Shiva. Now, I have a set of marmakomos here. I didn't make copies for everyone because it is not easy to read. There's a handwritten psak that was given to Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman. Now, really, Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman himself is an Angalad Ma'od, and he's a bar hachi to make a psak himself. Seems he was staying by the house of a yid named Shlomo Lessin in Lakewood. His father was a Yaakov Lessin, big Baal Musar, hailed from Slabodka. And this Rav Lessin, who Meir Tzvi Bergman is staying by, is a brother-in-law to a big posek in Lakewood, Simcha Bunim Kohn. He has multiple, a whole series of art scroll, halachic svarim. Amongst them, he recently, in the past few years, published a sefer in Hilchos Avelos. Very, very good sefer in Hilchos Avelos. Most of them know the Morning in Halacha, the art scroll book. With Simcha Bunim Kohn's is a little more concise. and some people find it better. Art School Book on Avelos by Simcha Bunim Kom. So somebody who knows the sugya of Avelos, one. And if you look at the beginning of the Psak, he doesn't just say he did it by himself. He consulted with Rabbi Tzion Cook of Eretz Yisrael. Who's Rabbi Tzion Cook? He's a son-in-law of Rabbi Yitzchak Radinsky, Zatzal, big tzaddik in Bnei Brak, grandson of the Torah Savram, who was murdered by the Nazis, the Mashkiach of Slobodka. He himself is a Talmud Muvok of Rebbe Yoshev and wrote multiple Svarim of Rebbe Yoshev, which we'll get to. We did some research. What they did was they gave this psak over to Meir Tzvi Bergman, what they felt he could and can't do at this event. And I'll quickly go through the psak. What's interesting is the psak is the I'll call halachic directive. It's telling him the sikkum, the final psak, what to do. But it does not have with it it's not tshuva, where you see clearly the basis of why they did that. So that itself, now it could be they're very smart. They realize some people might make trouble. So they decided not to expose the tshuva and the reasoning behind it. They just wrote the halakha directive. Also, they're just, you know, telling over practically what to do. So they wrote over halachas to Rav Meir Tzvi. If you look at it, it's handwritten, so not so simple to read. But first thing they tell Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman is that the whole time he should be in without regular shoes and with his torn beged, which was there. You see the pictures of him. He was there in like sandals, see his socks. Yeah. He could sit on a regular chair. He's 94 years old. It's very hard for him to sit on the floor.
He might have already had that sock even in the house.
Yeah. Now, it actually did seem from that, because there were multiple people, I think, people that came in from Eretz Yisrael to Menachem Avil. A lot of people went to Menachem Avil the week. Yeah, he was sitting, in a chair. I'll come back to Gimel, but Gimel talks about Yidaber Divrei Chizuk Musar Vishlo Baharbos Bistam Drosh. He should talk specifically words of Musar and Chizuk, but not give a fancy drasha. I'll come back to that. He says, number four, they shouldn't, the way at these events, when an Adam Gadol walks in, mamash, the band starts playing, and the rafters start dancing. You know, for such an Adam Gadol, they make a big to-do. They said this should not be done when he comes in. Just they were allowed to announce that the Rosh Hashiva came in. People could stand up. What ended up happening was he walked in, and the crowd said, the announcer even said, Mamish, it was a stadium of people doing Nicham Avelon to Nam Gadol. It's also quite amazing. He got up there. I'll say that in a second. Look at the next line. Ukadai Himevshin Shemaron Yaskol in his drasha that, sorry, before that, yeah, after the drasha, you should leave right away. Okay, they did that too. And before I get to the last one, he started his drasha, and the first thing he said wasn't even his own avelos. He spoke about the fact that he's an avelos. But he actually said, which is also a whole, you could debate it on the whole topic of an event like this. This is a huge simcha, huge event. But Klal Yisrael was mourning, it was still B'toch Shiva, over Gershon Edelstein. So Meir Tzvi Bergman's first line is, you know, we're all in Avelos over Meir Tzvi Bergman's, we're all in Avelos over the death of the Gadol HaDor of Gershon Edelstein. And then he said, I'm also personally in Avelos over my son. Also, quite a perspective given over by an Adam Gadol. And the last thing they write, it's Kedai that the Rosh Hashiva, Meir Tzvi gives over the Lashon they write, which is start his drasha, the kivan dehu davar chashav ma'od. It's very hard to read the language. L'chazik b'nei Torah, because it's such a big deal to give chizuk to b'nei Torah, motulo lavo afil b'toch shiva. It's motor for him to come here even during the shiva. So they want him to spell out that heter that he has. Now, to be honest, that last one, play back the tapes, it's all recorded, you can see what he said. I don't remember what exact language he used, if he did that or how he said that. But the first thing that hit me, it was pretty interesting. I knew about this event, I knew about this issue, I knew that the Meitzvah Bergen was going to give the drasha. I saw this psak from Simcha Bun Kom came out probably the day of the event, before the event. I saw this already. That Sunday night during the event, I wasn't at the event, I was staying and learning. We're learning, I have to be learning the Sechas Moed Kata. Do you imagine what I happened to be up to the night of this drasha, of this event? The halacha of teaching Torah, Toch Avelos, Toch Shiva, to the Rabbin. No joke. That's literally what I was up to. Rush, Perek Beis, Simon Beis. Gemara later on, we looked up Chaf Aleph. I'm like, wow. He just like, this is happening right there in Lakewood, and we're Miami, the Kol. This is what we're learning. So at that point, I knew what my topic was going to be this week. So the first thing that hit me, myself and my Chavrusa, or Regila, was, it's very interesting. The way the psak was given to Rameir Tzvi Bergman, is he could say divrei chizuk and musar. If you look the way poskim write up, what could you learn on Tisha B'Av? What could a person learn when he's in avelos? An avel does not learn Torah. What could you learn on Tisha B'Av, a person in avelos? They do say divrei chizuk and musar. You could do that. So the whole heter they gave him to speak, they say b'feirish, and not to do a drasha, just divrei chizuk and musar.
Just 20 time all day.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
The entire, I'm saying.
Okay, I'm not giving advertisements for other things, but you're right. There are... there are lots of divrei chizuk, which is available today. Rabbi Shapiro has his Shmir Salashon. Yeah. Anyway, but if you go through the Gemaras, which we'll see in a second, that's not so simple to write the psak like that. If you look on your sheets, first thing the Gemara says, right? The Gemara Moikad and Afchav Aleph. The Asa Likros Betorah Nevi'im L'Ksuvim. It's also for an Avol to read Tanakh, Lishlos B'Mishnah Medrash. If many people, the Rabbim need him, ain't a nimna. He doesn't hold back. And the Gemara tells a story. The son of Rabbi Yossi was Nifter. His son died, and he gave a drasha the whole day. So the Gemara does talk about a precedent of people teaching Torah where it's begeder rabim tzrichim lo for such a thing. Now, when we saw this, Chavrusa was saying, L'chora, why are they only mattering him to say divrei chizuk and musar? The heter, the Gemara says, seemingly the heter they're using is a heter of rabim tzrichim lo. There's a stadium of people that are waiting for him to give a drasha. Then he can learn anything. He give a full-fledged drasha. And Pashtos, I listened to the entire drasha. It was a full-fledged drasha. Give a beautiful drasha. Meir Tzvi Bergman is known for being able to weave together Chazal, Shas, Bavli, Yushalmi, everything. And this gave such a beautiful drasha. It's hard to say he just gave Divrei Chizuk and Musar. It was a drasha. It was traveling around Shas. It wasn't short. So, Pashtus, I understand that, because the Hector Rabim Trichum though is not limited to Divrei Chizuk and Musar. Why did they write that? I'm not sure. But then, here's where the situation blew up. Okay, so far, come Sunday night, or Monday when I was able, had a few minutes able to listen to the drasha, so I heard the drasha and understood. Okay, I saw, it didn't look exactly the way they wrote up the directive, that you should only do Divrei Chizuk and Musar. Okay, but I understood, Rav Meir Tzvi is his own man, and could do, and Pashtus, the Gemara says, he have a head to Rabim Trichum, well, he could give a full-fledged drasha. Yes, Eli, you had a point?
Yeah, I was going to say that he gives that svara for Divrei Chizuk, because it's a tzorach. So it's, I don't think it's a big stretch that you apply the same svara and say that, why is it Talmud Torah just as much of a tzorach as Divrei Chizuk?
Okay, so we'll talk about that in a moment. Excellent. Now, Lamaisa, it emerged over the past couple of days that one of the current Rosh Hashivas of Torah Vadas, Yitzhak Lichtenstein, wrote a 5-page letter to Rav Sichel Bunim Cohen. Now, I assume this was originally intended to be private, but in the digital age, you got to know if you write something on a hot topic, it's going to get out there. And sure, oh boy, it did. It seems one website had it up and they pulled it down. But it's going all around the world. By now I had, multiple copies people were sending me as soon as they heard the topic of my share. They were sending me topics since Friday. So I got this on Friday. I went through it. I showed it to a few people. And Rav Lichtenstein takes strong position against everything that was done. For the record, I don't know if Rabbi Lichtenstein was there. I assume, based on this letter, he probably was not. One of the many Rosh Hashiva's attendants, I don't know that he was. But there was strong attack against him. I'm going to go through some of his points. But before I even touch it, just to realize, look, I'm not getting involved, it's above my pay grade. Nashim Chashuvim are debating this. But to put in perspective, Lamaisa, the event was an event attended by Gedolei Rosh Hashiva. I saw sitting there right in the front, one of the Gedolei Polskim in America, perhaps in the world today. The Moshe Heinemann was sitting right there. I didn't hear of anyone who, Dafka, because of this issue, was Mocha and did not go to the event. Not all the Rosh Hashivas of the world were at this event, but many Chashuvim ones were. I did not hear of anyone protesting because of that event. This was done with the Am the Eda. So Hagufa, Lichtenstein writes, it's potential mikshal, people could become mekon halachas of Avelos, and therefore he chose to fight and, speak up about it. Okay, Lamaisa is very important. Obviously, you can't be Madame Lamol, so you can't compare in general, especially in a case where you don't know the facts, which is this case. Especially Hilchas Avelos. The Gemara says, actually, in your days, in Moed Katan, that Dine Avelos are Karos. The type of halachas is very, very hard to compare one halacha to another. Halachas very much change on a dime. And more so than any other halachas, Dine Avelos are very, very tricky. So for sure, and people who have such shailas, a shaila needs to be asked. On this topic, if you look up Rav Sichel Bunim Cohen, that's the first thing he writes. You can't get a clear psak. Could someone teach for the Rabbin Torah in his English book, in Hilchos Avelos, he says you have to must ask a Rav. It's a big shaila, not clear. Now, one of the issues, if you look, the Ramah, for example, Paskins La'alacha, second Mar Makam in the Sheets, says, the Yachal Liposik Isser Vehetter Liyachin Ashol also. A person in Avelos, a person in Toch Shiva, could paskin Isser Vehetter in Ein Acher Elohu. If he's the only one, Vitzrikim lo, need him. I remember when old Yashiv was in Avelos, he paskin Shilas. Because who's going to answer the world Shilas if Rabbi Yashiv wasn't available?
It's
So during Shiva, he paskan shilas. But the Ramah does add, avo asr lomer halacha l'talmidav. It's asr to teach halacha, to teach Torah to one's talmidim. V'chein nohagim, and that is the minog. Avo pish yesh mekilim, even though there are those who make them. So pash pshat the Ramah scales back the heter of the Gemara. That no, psak halacha, yes. Stam teaching talmidim, not. Rev Yitzhak Lichtenstein in that tshuva, one of the things he writes, he makes a point of Mavar B'dvarav. He's talking about the Ramah. The Asar Rav Avo Lelamin in Talmidim. The Chay Nagu, the Lo Mikri Rav of Talmidim Rabim Tzrichim Lo. Just because he's a great Rebbe does not mean it's Begeder Rabim Tzrichim Lo. V'nei Pashat Talmidim Eino Toelos Gadol B'zeh Sh'Rabim Yom Lelosam. There's no greater toleles. Ika toleles gdola. There's a tremendous benefit if their Rebbe teaches them. Over choze, pasuk Ramah, the Lord Mikri Rabim Tzrichim Lo. Why mishum dev shabachrini? You know why we don't say every Rebbe, every Rosh Hashiva should go in during Avelos, Toch Shiva, and teach in Yeshiva? Wouldn't it be the best thing for the Talmidim to have their Rebbe, not some substitute? Teretz is, we don't do that. Sof go sof. A substitute is called Efshir Bachrini. That's what Yitzchak Lichtenstein's take. If you look further down, I brought all his bays. He says, are we going to paskin such a thing in La Halacha that Rebbeim could go into Yeshiva? Ramah says, we don't. Enogin Kain. Voshamanu Misha Asa Kain. Lichtenstein says, he didn't hear anyone did this. Vilchazinu Rabbanim Kishasi Dav Dihachi. We didn't hear older Rabbanim doing this. Agavorcha, someone told me over Shabbos, two interesting psalkim. Avigdor Miller, Toch Shiva, did go and teach his classes. So, okay, I don't know if Lichtenstein knew of this story or not, but a person who was there saw it. I got Aid Me P'Aid. told me about it over Shabbos. I also heard, a person said his father was a Rav in England, the more modern shul, and he also taught in the modern school. And he was going to go in during Shiva because there weren't too many people who could do the job that he was doing. He was going to go in. But the Posek of Manchester told me he shouldn't go in because people might learn to be Mako. All about them will say, hey, if the rabbi goes in teaching the school, I could go to work. Again, the same type of issue, people learning the wrong psak. So that's why this Rav in England didn't do it. Right.
Who?
Taka. Very good. Shh. Very good point. Right? The Sichu Bunim Kohn is Mishpacha, right? I believe he's a grandson. Sichu Bunim Kohn is a grandson of Avigdor Miller. So Taka, the point of that Rabbi Avigdor Miller himself did this, definitely played a role. Very good point. Lamaisa, what is with Lichtenstein comes out. Sof Dover, he has a few other points. He talks about going into basis. Mishta, Katsarti Daiti Milhavin, I don't know, my das is too small to understand. Efshar Lahatir La'avil Likanis Beisa Simcha, Religios B'divrei Torah, Lefnei Rivavos, what right does he have to go in? Why do you have to find the terim? That's not called a base of mishnah because he's not playing music when he walks in. The gamma time of the mar, rabim tzrichim lo. What do you mean? Someone else could do it. Even if you tell me someone else can't do it. So use technology. Let him record from his house. And on Zoom, have a video. But why do you need to go in to a big simcha like that? And I showed this tshuva to some Anashim Chashuvim, and they said the questions that Rav Lichtenstein is asking, definitely not easy to answer. I would say one interesting thing I would like to add one thing to the fray. I looked up last night, I was able to track down Rav Ben Zion Cook has a sefer in Hilchos Avelos, which is, for the most part, direct quotes or summaries of quotes questions and answers that he asked to Rabbi Yoshev. Within that sefer, I didn't have a chance to put it on the Marmakomos, but there are I can make copies, put it on the online, the Marmakomos. Rabbi Yoshev was asked a couple of shilas. One question he was asked was, now it's not clear, was the shayla toch sheva or navelos, and that's a big, big, big difference. He's talking about first the Rosh Hashiva being mishtatif in a shava brachos and speaking at a shava brachos, giving a drasha at a shava brachos. Shava brachos is the base of Mishnah, and giving a drasha there. And at first it seems like the drasha was an element, you know, if it's within Shiva, it's a shayla teaching Torah. If it's post-Shiva, seems like the shayla might have been an issue of being more mishtatif in the Shavu Brachos by giving a drasha. Not just coming there, not just sitting there, but he's actively involved. He's speaking. And l'maisa, ach bechozos hiskim shemotar af lidrosh. Rebbe Yoshev gave a heter for someone, for sure tocha velos. Right? But perhaps even toch Shiva, big difference. To Darshan, if it's nice, really, Yeshiru, Beshosh Nim Sasham. As long as he doesn't sing when he's there, one would be allowed to give a drasha. Similarly, he asked about a case. Of a big supporter of the yeshiva, whose child is getting married. Could the Rosh Yeshiva come to such a situation? And no, so it's again, it's not clear. He might be past that, might be Toch Shloshim, post Shloshim. Lav Davka here is talking about Toch Shiva. But here are the reasoning. The reasoning that he allows for these things is part and parcel of your job. Part of the job of a Rosh Yeshiva is Kavod HaTorah and doing things for Kavod HaTorah, doing things at Tzorach HaYeshiva. And the Mela, you know.
That could work the other way too.
Yeah.
Part of his job, maybe he shouldn't be doing it because it's his job.
Right. But his job is not just he's a banker, he's a Rosh Yeshiva. Now, I wonder what the psak would be. Let's say the scenario is the following. Okay? Let's say the Lakewood Yeshiva had one Rosh Yeshiva. They're having this big event, this Adir Yitar event, which Stam is costing the Yeshiva just to set up an event like this. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, it's not a once in a lifetime event when they had one last year. But it's a pretty big event. And let's say they had one Rosh Yeshiva, just to make the case simpler. They had one Rosh Yeshiva, and same type of thing. He was Toch Shiva, and this event is happening. You can't cancel the event last minute. Look, they didn't cancel the event because Rav Gershon Edelstein was nifter. Could he go to that event and speak? And he was the main speaker. I could hear it Sadeh Rebbe Yoshev with Mata. Perhaps. I've seen similar shilos. Again, not Toch Shiva. Toch Shiva is a whole other scenario. I don't have a Raya Mefrachas. I don't have an absolute proof. But the concept of a Rav doing something, you know, this is his yeshiva, Lamaisa, here, it's not Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman's yeshiva, but he was appointed as the yeshiva to be their spokesman, to speak on their behalf. And the lashon they use is big divrei chizuk. So, a dying Sarachian, but it's quite fascinating shayla about teaching Torah in a situation of Avelos, most particularly talking Toch Shiva. But I want to end with an amazing story. Amazing story. Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman years ago was very close to many Gedolim, as mentioned, the Chazon Ish. I think the Chazon Ish made his Shidduch. Stipler, obviously his father-in-law of Shach, was close to Rav Hundner. Hutner told him the following very interesting story. He said this over in Shir. Hutner enjoyed so much being at Gedolim meetings together with Rav Aaron Kotler. What did he enjoy so much about being with Rav Aaron Kotler? He said, when Rav Aaron Kotler said the word Taira, he said it with such passion. His blue eyes were burning. Like it was a sight to see. And Rav Hutner admitted that at these meetings, he would steer the conversation So Rabbi Aaron would have to say that word. He sort of put him on the spot because he just would, you know, enjoy it. It was a tanuk every time he heard Rabbi Aaron say the word Torah. Rabbi Meir Tzvi Bergman tells over that story, but contrasts it to another story that happened to him. Rabbi Meir Tzvi Bergman, for many years, you know, Alan, we probably have a lot of time, you post, right? Different people come, and, you know, to the neighborhood, we have a parlor meeting for this Rosh Hashiva, that Rosh Hashiva. Most of the time, even small yeshivas, if they have a parlor meeting, if they have some type of event, it's not just the Rosh Hashiva coming, it's an executive director, it's some people in the community setting up a thing. There's a little bit of an entourage. This Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman fundraised for years and decades the old-fashioned way. He went by himself, would not spend yeshiva money for another person or this, did it all himself. And how did he travel? So I remember growing up in Brooklyn, yeah. There were these little, like, buses, shuttles, you know, Lahavdol, you see this, you know, the Miami bus. A Zachen Vey, you never see it from a Yid on a Miami bus. Those little shuttles that go in between here and there that different segments of the community use. Right? There's a little bus like that, Hanukkah bus line, go between Borough Park and Williamsburg. And when he'd fundraise in Borough Park and Williamsburg, he'd go in these little shuttle buses. So one day he's waiting for the bus, because that's how he traveled from Borough Park to Williamsburg. He's sitting by the bus stop, he's learning. And guess what happens? Starts pouring rain. Us in Florida know what it means to be caught in pouring rain. And Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, look, what can he do? He's standing on the bus, usually well by the B11 bus stop, you know, towards Borough Park. You wait over there, and you get one of these things. He's waiting in the pouring rain. And the bus stop is right there, you know, traffic light, light turns red, and a car pulls up, a nice Lincoln, rolls down the window. That was a from Jew. But this story goes back decades ago, when the appreciation for Torah is not the same thing that it is today. And a Jew looks out, this Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, sizes him up as a quote-unquote schnurrer Rosh Yeshiva, sitting there at the bus stop, learning, and mockingly says to him, Taira! Taira! And drives away. To his credit, Rav Meir Tzvi says over the story, as just a contrast of the difference of what one word of Torah, we say the same word, but from a different perspective. Rav Meir Tzvi said, "Oy, imagine if this Yid would have heard Rav Aaron Cutler say the word Torah. You'd have a different appreciation." But I take from that story, if there's a Rosh Hashiva in the world today that deserves Kavod HaTorah, it's someone who's suffered Bizyonos for Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked out in his world that Lamaisa, Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, came to speak at a huge event. Biggest crowd I'm sure he ever spoke to. 30,000 people. His son was Nifter. His son was Nifter on the flight. Mishpacha magazine line was, you know, jinxed cover story was called Joyous Journey. By the time he got there, wasn't a joyous journey. But if anyone deserved the Kavod HaTorah of thousands of people, it was somebody who suffered Bizyonos for Torah. And Ad Khan, not so nice for people to debate this topic in the public with the Meir Tzvi Bergman. It's an important halacha to talk about, but anyone deserves Kavod HaTorah. It's a type of Rosh Hashiva like Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman. It should be a schus for him and for all of Klal Yisrael, the Kavod HaTorah that we have in this generation. Thank you very much.